come again. They'll back to Church to Search in the Scriptures class, where we take your questions and we answer them from the Word of God. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God, who is our help and our hope, who is our Savior and our salvation. Help us, Lord, to stand firmly in your Word and to be strong by your Spirit, that we may do your will, and we may abound in your presence and in your glory, and in your holiness and your righteousness, and we may serve and pray you in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, before we begin today, take a look and ask the question if anybody has any questions that they would like for us to look into. Okay. And if not, if you do have a question at any time, you can send an email to questions@bbcmh.org, and we'll add those to our list. We can also connect through Instant Messenger, Yahoo Instant Messenger, BBCMH95037, and you can ask any question you want at any time. So the question that we have before us is, how can we be sure that Jesus is the one true Messiah of God? So we have a lot of different religions and faiths that say, well, Jesus is just one of many ways to salvation, to the presence of God. We also have people that claim that they themselves are the Messiah of God, either the unique Messiah or that they are Jesus who has come back. And so there's many people who claim to be Jesus who have come back again. And so the question that that's part of what feeds the question is that issue, that question. So the first question that we have to ask is, raise up the question is, well, how many true messiahs can be expected? So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 and 31.
And I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God.
Okay, so God knows the heart of every man, and as he was looking for someone who would be acceptable as a Messiah figure, as a rescuer, to stand between man and God, how many was he able to find?
None.
So he could not find any other man. So we know that there's not just a lot of Messiah figures out there. We know that there's going to be a significant limitation on that. So we go to Galatians 3:16. And Paul writes, and he says, now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Paul gets very specific here as to how many promised messiahs, how many true saviors, and how many true anointed ones that there are. And so how many does Paul say that there are?
One.
There's one and only one, and he says that it is Christ. So, from Paul, New Testament, we know that there's only one. According to Ezekiel, there just cannot be many because there's none that he was able to find. So, he would have to do the work himself, which limits it to nine, to one. Daniel 9,
25-27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore to build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and threescore 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in the tumulus times. And after the threescore and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and to the people, the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And at the end of the war, desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, And in the midst of the week, he shall cause sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
So this is the only passage in the Bible that specifically uses the of the Old Testament anyway, that specifically uses the word Messiah. Although it is a common Hebrew word, it's the only place where translated Messiah. The word translated Messiah is Meshiach, which means anointed. And so, which gets into the requirements to be the Messiah. So according to Daniel, what God told him it indicates how many Messiahs can we expect. Because he says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince. Notice that he says, the Messiah, who is the Prince. And so the implication is, in Daniel, there is only one Messiah. And he is the restorer of all, and that's what he is to be understood. And he's here for a very short period of time. So from that time, whenever the command to restore and to build, the Messiah will come after 62 times 7 years, 62 weeks and years. And he'll be cut off pretty quickly. And so the time of Christ is right about that time frame. So anyone claiming to be the Messiah now is clearly a false Messiah because that time is well past. So we're going to look at some requirements, though. Well, if there's only one Messiah, what is it that would define or characterize this Messiah? So 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13. Go to Senior Joe.
Okay.
2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13.
2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
So, in one sense, this is talking about Solomon with respect to building of the temple. But specifically, he is pointing out about the Messiah. And so, what do we know is a requirement to be Messiah? There's a couple of them here. What is he going to receive? Look at verse 13.
Establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Right. So he's going to have an eternal kingdom. So what we know is a Messiah will be a king, but he will be a king who has a kingdom that continues on forever. It never stops. Okay, so we're going to be looking for someone who is a king, and specifically, this is a pronouncement to David, so it has to be a descendant of David, king of Israel. And so we know that he is from David, we know that he is to be a king figure. Deuteronomy 18:15, and the king is one of three positions that were to be anointed in their position.
Deuteronomy 18:15.
The
Lord thy God will rise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Okay. So what is the requirement to be the Messiah?
That's
to be a prophet. So we know that the Messiah is a king. He's a ruler of the people. His throne endures forever. We know that the Messiah is going to be a prophet of God, but not just any prophet. He is to be one that must be listened to. is your only hope is to listen to this particular prophet. Other prophets you should listen to, if they're real prophets from God, but this one you don't have a choice. You must listen to him more than anything at all. Let's go to Micah 5:2.
But thou art Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou be little among the nations, though thou be little among the nations, thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Okay, so it's a couple things that we can find out about the Messiah figure. What are some of the things you see that are requirements to be Messiah?
He will come out of Bethlehem.
Okay.
He's going to be the ruler of Israel.
Okay.
Who's going to start the different old versions from eternity?
Yeah. So there are those three things here. He must come from Bethlehem. He will be functioning as a ruler in Israel. And his existence, his goings forth, it says, has been from of old, even from everlasting. So his existence is eternal. All these people that try to claim to be Messiah, they're going to have a tough time with that one. Show that they have, you know, to demonstrate that they have been from an eternal perspective. And Isaiah 9:1-2.
Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be much as what is in her expectation. And at the first he let me flip to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have been a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shine.
So there's one piece of major information here. What do we know about the Messiah? It comes from what? Galilee. Okay. By the way of the sea, by beyond Jordan, and Galilee of the nations, the people that walk in darkness have seen great light. So we know that the Messiah is coming from Bethlehem, but it also comes from Galilee. So again, it's very difficult for others to say, yeah, I'm a Messiah, when they haven't come from either one of us. Isaiah 43:11.
I am Lord, beside me there is no Savior.
So this is ultimately the picture that they have of the Messiah figure. What's his job?
Savior.
To be Savior. And notice who the Savior is.
Lord.
So apart from Yahweh, apart from the God of all creation, there is no other Lord. There is no other Savior. There is no other Messiah. So here we have the divinity of the Messiah figure being pointed out. So we're going to take a look and say, okay, we have some of the requirements, and there are other requirements as well. So let's take a look at Jesus and take a look at whether or not he qualifies. Luke 1, 31 to 33. It says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So what does the pronouncement of Jesus indicate about his ability to meet some of the requirements for being a son? What requirements do you mean?
For one, he has to be named Jesus.
Okay. Which means Savior, Joshua.
Son of the Highest.
Okay. Son of God.
Son of God.
He's going to be from his father, David.
So he has to be the lineage of David. Which he is.
The name of the house of Jacob.
So his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. So what we have here is told that Jesus is King of Israel, sitting on the throne of David, and his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. So that lines up with the requirement for being Messiah of 2 Samuel 7, 12, and 13. So Jesus meets those requirements, Son of David and eternal kingdom. Let's go to John 18.
Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or do others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation, the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence.
37.
Oh, sorry. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. For this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice.
Okay, so what does David say about his relationship to the Messiah and requirements? What requirements is he saying, I meet the requirements?
Did I read 33? I guess I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have answered, Art thou the King of the Jews? Mm-hmm. He didn't answer him directly. He said, Say if thou this thing of thyself, or did someone tell you?
But then he does say in verse 36, My kingdom is not of this world. So Jesus does acknowledge that he is king. Mm-hmm. But it's not a kingdom of this world per se. And so he's acknowledging he is king, and he's acknowledging that his kingship is a different kind of kingship. And ultimately, so it's pointing out that he's to be king over the hearts of men, but still his kingship. Matthew 13, 54 to 57.
And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so much that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, saving his own country and his own house.
Okay. So what role of Messiah does Jesus claim to possess?
The role
of a Messiah. What are the requirements that he's saying, this is who I am? Verse 57.
A prophet is not without honor, saving his own country.
So he is identifying himself as being a true prophet of God. And so as a prophet of God, he qualifies to be Messiah. So we've seen that he is a king. We've seen that he is a prophet. Let's go to John 5:18.
Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
So this is a little bit different, but it is related to his position as Messiah, identifying as the unique Messiah. What is his relationship that says this one is the one I'm unique, the most important position?
He was God.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Jews were upset with him about, was that he claimed to be the Messiah, claimed to be the Son of God, and to claim to be the Son of God the way that he did was to lay claim to being God himself. And so in that realm, he definitely fits more than all the requirements of a messianic figure that we can clearly articulate. We do know that there is but one Savior, and that is the Lord, Yahweh, that is God. And here we have Jesus being equated with being equal to God. And Jesus did not reject that affirmation or statement. He never said anything to the effect of, you misunderstood me. Instead, he says, you see that this is true. He affirmed in verse 19 and 20, that they were, in fact, understanding it properly. Go to Acts 4:10 through 12. So he writes, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now remember in Deuteronomy, when they're talking about the requirements of the prophet, he says, I will raise up a prophet among you whom you must hear. You must listen to him. Now here, Peter is basically saying that there's only one that you must listen to. There's only one that you must follow after. There's only one that you must communicate with. And so Christ is that one and unique and only. There is no other option, no other ideal or concept. Due to time, we've got a few more that we can take a look at. Let's go to Matthew 2, verses
1-8. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.
So what requirement of man of the side does Jesus need here?
So he was born in Bethlehem.
Born in Bethlehem. So he was born in Bethlehem. So that puts a severe limitation of any possibilities. And he was, we saw that he was identified as being the king of Israel. We saw that he was a prophet of God. He was one that must be listened to. Matthew 4, 13 to 18.
That he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking up the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishing.
So what requirement of being the prophet, of being the Messiah did Jesus fulfill? Verse 14.
That it might be fulfilled, which was written by the name of the prophet, the land of Israel.
So where is Jesus from?
Jesus is from Galilee.
Galilee. So Nazareth is among, is in the area of Galilee. And so Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth. But Nazareth is of Galilee. Says he departed, in verse 12, it says he departed into Galilee. But that's where Jesus was from. And so we know that Jesus was from Nazareth. We know that he was from Galilee. We know that the Messiah is to come out of Galilee. And so we have this link here. And he worked in the area of the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so we have all these different requirements of Jesus being the King of Israel, identified as the King of Israel, being known, recognized as the only Savior, the prophet, of being recognized as the only hope, one that must be listened to, coming from Bethlehem, being, and coming out of Galilee. There's also one that talks about coming out of Egypt, and Jesus came out of Egypt. And so we have one Messiah, and we have all these characteristics of the Messiah that are listed, and Jesus fits with all of those characteristics of the Messiah. So Jesus must be considered definitely a strong candidate of the Messiah. The probability of anyone else being the Messiah is close to zero. But there's one requirement which is the ultimate validation of his being the Messiah. In Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4,
Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness and the resurrection from the dead.
So what is the ultimate validation that Jesus is the one and only true Messiah? His resurrection. That manifested itself as he is the Son of God. He is the ruling authority of Israel. He truly is the true King of Israel. Because remember in 1 Samuel, where God tells Samuel, look, they haven't rejected you, but they've rejected me to be their king. And they did not want God as king, they wanted another king. And so the reality that Christ is that Son of God by the resurrection of the, from the dead confirms that he is the approved head of the nation of Israel according to God's power and spirit. Any other thoughts, questions, ideas?
So there are still people today that claim to be him,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the first guy that comes to my mind is Sun Myung Moon,
yeah.
And others that are obviously not connected with reality to it, but this guy like Moon really believes it, I guess, and then somehow garners a bunch of followers.
I'm familiar with, at this point in time, at least three people that claim to be Christ coming back. Sun Myung Moon is one of them. One of the others is a guy in Texas who claims to be Christ. I think he's the one with the tattoos on his hand and on his forehead, the number 666, saying that the number 666 is actually the number of a perfect man. And that he is it. And so he is a Christ figure. And then there's one in, I think it's in South America somewhere, who claims to be Christ. I might be Lima, or I might be out there with Lima. I'm not sure. Certainly not. But clearly, they're not him. Jesus said there will be many that will come claiming to be him, but don't believe it. And so we know that the others are not him, and the only Jesus is, because he hands the gifts of confidence.
If there was a Orthodox Jew sitting here through the Dark study, you know, with this kind of evidence, and they can still not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, it's pretty, it's like I can't think of the word, but it's deliberate of disbelief. And so, but it, you know, when, even in this short period of time, all the evidence here, and there's more evidence, that they would still not want to just go on.
I haven't talked to an Orthodox Jew on this topic. I have talked to a Muslim on this topic, and his basic claim to things is that Jesus never claimed to be Messiah or the Son of God or any of these things. And so when I point out, in the past, when I pointed out, well, the scripture says this, and he says, oh, well, those have been twisted by the Christians in order to support their view. When I pointed out, well, but we actually have comments of copies of these things which predate Muhammad by several hundred years. It is, again, 6-9, they've been corrupted and twisted. So it's sort of like with respect to the resurrection. Right, we have the guards went and said, okay, what do you want me to do? We got this problem where the dead guy we were guarding left the tomb. What do you want us to do about this? And so they, instead of being able to refute the empty tomb, they created a story that says, well, the body was stolen. And so they're going to try and come up with any escape mechanism to try and justify their position, even if it doesn't make sense in any way, shape, or form. But it's what they want to. You see it over and over again. That's right. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and thank you for the Word of God that communicates to us clearly that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God. He meets all the requirements, and I pray, Lord, that we would continue to humble ourselves before you think of it. Your lives may be transformed by His presence and by your grace. That we may learn to do your will and abide by your commandments. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.